You're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com or on our podcast. I'm Ailey Packham. This show is brought to you in association with oldfootballshirts.com. Well, it's been a bad week on the road for the Albion. Last Saturday's 1-0 reverse at Bolton was followed by Tuesday's 2-1 defeat at Barnsley. This has seen us slip out of the playoff places. However, with games against our playoff rivals still to come, all is not lost. Wednesday saw the club announced that American Express are to expand the sponsorship of the club after revealing that they are to be the new shirt sponsor. The new kit for next season was also revealed. And on Friday, following his sending off at Bolton, Ashley Barnes has had his suspension increased from 4 to 7 games by the FA. Tomorrow is Derby Day as we look to avenge our defeat at Selhurst as Crystal Palace make the short trip to the Amex. Ian Holloway says he's going to try and keep us out of the playoffs. Oh well, people in glass houses and all that. Joining us today is, of course, Alan Wares and a man born in Vitoria Gasteiz on the 4th of January 1982. He represented his native Alaves and Alicante before moving to the Albion in 2010. To date, he has made 115 appearances, scoring 12 goals, and he's just been nominated in the Football League Awards as the Community Player of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Inigo Calderon.
Hello, hello, hello. It's a good one.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Ongetori Ikeskuna?
Ongetori, that's right, that's welcome, but I don't think, I don't understand what you say.
Iskaskuna.
Ah, Euskalduna.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Basque, yeah, it's all right. Welcome, yeah? Basque, it's all right, perfect. Okay. Not bad, not bad, good try.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, how's your head?
Yeah, it's not bad, it's not bad. I have like a golf ball still in there, but it's not too bad.
Whereabouts? I can't, I'm looking.
It's here, in the back of my
right.
The head.
What happened? What did you do?
It's an elbow, but to be fair, I think it was absent or from the back, so I cannot say nothing to the ref.
What is it about Brighton players crocking each other this season? Do you remember Dicker, he thwacked Hoskins during pre-season?
Yeah, and Kasper Angrega to Gary Dicker.
Yeah.
You're
not dangerous in training, aren't you?
Not too much.
Actually, Casper took out Brez as well, didn't he? Or like Brez took out Casper.
Oh, that's some,
I don't
some,
think it's,
oh, that's rivalry.
Maybe out of the
because
pitch.
That's how Brez got to play against Huddersfield. Because
yeah, he has some finger bad. Yeah, maybe it's true. Maybe you know more than me.
Okay, well, unbelievably, you've not scored yet this season. So this Sunday will be a good chance to get a winner.
It's a good moment. It's a perfect moment, and I'm gonna tell you a secret. My grandfather is gonna come, and the last time he watched me playing football, I scored one goal. It was my only goal in the second division of Spain, so why not? I can do the same.
So it's his first visit to England to watch you play.
Yeah, he's 83 years old. I just come in like 3 days, and he's like just to watch me playing in a perfect stadium while we are playing. He just picked the best game to watch. It's not the safety one to watch because we know what's going to happen, but it's the best game of the season for sure.
Oh, there you go. Well, if it's good enough to bring you luck and bring therefore us luck, then you know if you can sort of come over for more games, then you know bring him over. You know, more than welcome.
Well, I trust a lot. I don't trust too much in luck, I trust too much in think. If you are gonna score, you think really think that you have a massive chance to score. Obviously, you cannot think every day because at the end you miss the you know this extra point. But I really think in that and trust in that.
Sure. Now you say you got your grandfather coming up. You're talking about your family there. Now your roots are, you know, I mean, to all intents and purposes, as far as you know we're concerned, you're Spanish. But I mean, what was something that was very clear when we won promotion, the first thing you did was you stuck a Basque flag around your neck. Basque isn't necessarily something that, you know, the people, the region, the language is something that we don't necessarily know too much about. So tell us about it.
Well, I think you know more about the Catalans. I don't know why, because unluckily we have been having more problems with that because we went there to be independent for Spain and they tried to do it in the incorrect way, you know, with trying to kill people. It's
terrorism,
not the way,
yeah.
Terrorism and that, ETA. So I thought maybe, you know, we were a bit more known outside of the Basque country, but it's not like that. But well, it's more or less similar to the Catalans. We think that we are a different country, and we have all the same own language, own music, own customs, everything a bit different.
Own food? Or is that
yeah, yes, as well. So I think it's just different, but thing we have to, you know, with the war. I say always you can go everywhere with the war, not with the violence. So, well, we'll see what happens in the future. But I am first Basque and after the Spanish, yeah. Sure.
Sure. So, I mean, you just before we came on air, you were saying that, you know, obviously you being here now for the past 3 years, you found that English is now your second language. So I assume that you're saying that Spanish, because more people speak Spanish, has to be your first. But you're keen to keep your Basque roots going as best you can.
Yeah, and more because now I have a baby. It's 10 months now, and I would like to keep him, teaching some Basque to him, because if we are going to be away of the Basque country, I don't know, 2-3 years, he's going to miss the chance to start learning with us. So I had to, so I again studying Basque, because it's like you say, now English is my second language, and when I have to talk with him in Basque, it's really, really complicated, because the words coming in my head in English instead of with Basque.
See, even now you're having to think and translate rather than think naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how easy is Basque to learn? If anyone here wants to try and learn Basque, would it be easy?
Should be maybe easier Chinese.
Okay.
That's a good example.
Well, I mean, having looked to try and write the entire intro in Basque and going on to the translator thing, I just looked at it and it was like, oh my God.
Well, this is the point that I was making. It's not a language like, say, French, Spanish and Italian have their sort of similar roots. Basque doesn't have a root or a cousin or a family anywhere else.
Yeah, because it's not coming from the Latin, so it's older than Latin. So we were there, I don't know, too many time long ago. So sure. It's older than
unconquered Latin. By the Romans, you see. So
that's true.
Okay, well, moving on, you signed for Alaves, which is obviously in the Basque region. That was
it's in Vitoria, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. And actually, I was looking at the pictures of the stadium. It's a lovely stadium.
Yeah, and we are wearing the same shirt than here, white and blue, and stripes. So yeah, stripes. So it's all right. I was there like 8 years in all the youth teams. You know, mm-hmm. coming to the until the second team, I couldn't achieve the first team, so I moved 3 years to Alicante, and I had really, really good 3 years in there. Like it was like League One, and after I came back to my city to play 2 years in the first team, so it was like in my dream come true. And after I said, well, I'm gonna be honest, I have two dreams when I started to play football. One was playing in my city team, Alaves, I did, and the other one was to play here in England. And after we get the relegation in Alaves, we have massive problems in there with the chairman and that. So they try to
sounds
release.
Sounds familiar. Don't worry.
No, sure. They want to release all the players that we did. We got the relegation. That it was our fault. But so that moment presented me to the chance to come here. And after a long, long, long 3-4 months trying to get a trial, being with Andrea Orlandi in his house, that I was in Swansea like 2-3 weeks. Yeah, just trying to get a trial, because I thought it was easier to come here to try, because but no, they didn't know me, so I couldn't get that trial. And at the end I went to Gillingham, I remember. I was there a couple of times, so it's a long history.
Other people have heard this story about you, your efforts to get to Gillingham, or your trial at Gillingham, and don't you at the end of it roll your eyes and thinking, go on, you tell it.
Yeah, the thing is, I went there because I was in Swansea, and they called me from there because the agent I had in that moment, he had the Marcus Timpson, that was the manager then. Mm-hmm. So he was friend of him and said, well, give me the boy, I will do a trial to him. And I went there, I was like 2-3 weeks in, and I kind of, well, I don't know, I don't think you are from Gillingham, so I can say that.
We played at Gillingham for 2 years.
Yeah, I know. So you have to be a bit, you know, grateful to them, but it's not the best city to live.
Not trust really, me, we're not.
So, I was living in a basement floor in a hostel, really, really bad, with no TV. The train was...
Like, the houses in Gillingham are bad enough, yeah. So the hostels must be even worse.
No, I was... The train station was 5 yards from my room, literally.
Yeah.
So every time the train passed, I feel it.
Oh, crikey.
So it wasn't my best experience, but I was all right in there, you know, because I just wanted to play in England, and they gave me a chance. So I was really, really happy training with them.
Sure. I mean, when you say... I mean, we'll talk about the Gillingham again in a minute, but when... you're not you're far from the first, you know, sort of player from Spain to say this. What is the lure of England to Spanish players?
I think the atmosphere, the fans, the pace of the games, and also because I think my style of football, for say one, maybe is quite, I thought, quite quick suit to the English style, because, you know, in Spain it's more, yeah, it's more technical, but here it's more physical and more, you know, like more passionate maybe to mm-hmm. play, and the fans, the atmosphere, For example, we play away, I know, in Barnsley, Tuesday night, they came, I don't know, 1,000 fans from Brighton. Yeah. It's not possible in Spain at all, that. So it's an extra point, for sure.
Is that to do more to do with the size of the country or just because of the fans? Because, I mean, we take vast numbers to Hartlepool, which is, or Middlesbrough.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's an example, because, way, yeah, of course, we went to Villa and they came 6,000, but that's easier. I mean, yeah,
right, you go to Villa's a big club, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. That, you know, that's the club and that's a good game to watch, but we have every single game, we have fans away.
Yeah.
So that's really impossible in Spain.
I think the point Adi was asking was, is it just not the culture in Spain for fans to travel to see their team away?
No, no one travel. No, maybe the big teams, maybe. But because they have too many fans that maybe they can, I don't know, go on holidays, you know, the weekend. Mm-hmm. That's it. But it's not like here that it's unbelievable. It's so good for the player.
Fair enough. Because so if my geography is correct, Alaves is at the top of the country and yeah. Alicante is right at the very bottom.
Yeah, in the east.
Oh, it's over there. Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was thinking of somewhere else. So, you know, there's a few teams around there. So even when you're at Alicante, you wouldn't have had any teams from around Valencia coming to, you know, a lot of fans or... That neck of that area.
15-20 fans, no thousand, nothing like that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's awful. Like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Alaves, we were a bigger team.
Sure.
And similar, it was more than 5 hours. Maximum 50 people coming to watch. Sure. No more than that.
I mean, sure. When you were at Alaves, did you actually go also to the UEFA Cup final?
No, I was in the second team then.
Right,
2001. Yeah. Unbelievable. I went to Dortmund to watch the game.
That's what I meant. Did you? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, like a fan. I was like, I remember 15 hours on the train going there and 50 going back. So yeah. It was a good experience, like a fan, you know.
Yeah. Mad game as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, 5-4. One. Yeah. One
all of,
the
all
best
of a
games.
Sudden, you must know what's coming later on now, don't you?
Ah, right. Okay, fine. All right.
Should we just do that now and get
go
it out of the way
then.
With?
Go on then.
Well, as many of you know, the show is brought to you in association with oldfootballshirts.com. And we have got a shirt of the week for you, as usual. We're just going to bring that up in the studio now. Here we go. What can you see this here?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And that is, I think it's actually a match-worn shirt from the final.
That's
and it was, I mean, that was one of the... There's not many games that have been won on a golden goal, let alone a golden own goal.
Yeah, that's true. And there were players that didn't know there was the rule, because you were playing and you didn't know that.
Mm.
I can talk about the setup, no?
Go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It was mad because, we, like I told you, we were the white and blue stripes.
Yeah.
And suddenly they decided to do this set just for the final.
It looks like Boca Juniors.
It's like yeah. sending Boca Juniors, but no one understood why they did this change, because why are you gonna change? Everybody's gonna know you now for this and not for the one we are wearing every game.
The one that you're accustomed with.
Yeah, yeah, but like after like the game was so good and everybody was happy with the shirt, it's like it didn't matter too much. And I think in this one they are the names of the card holders in printed in there. So my name is in there.
Oh wow,
that's good.
You didn't find that, did you?
You didn't know that.
So is that from Phil's site?
That is on Phil's site, yeah.
All right, so maybe I have to get back hold of the person that sent it in and say, look, is you know, find Calderon's name on there.
So just the blurb I've got on it. It was a 2001 Deportivo Alaves shirt from the UEFA Cup final against Liverpool, which the Scousers won 5-4 thanks to a Delphi Gelly golden own goal.
Well, that's a bad way to lose, isn't it?
It was.
It was just a mad, mad game.
Wasn't it Liverpool 3-0 up at one point and 4-0 up?
It was 3-1. No, it was 2-0 after we score and after 3-1 before the half and say, oh, that's right. It's done. After we start to play again, unbelievable. But we have the one player sending off, and just before the goal in the this fall was the second one,
yeah.
And was my idol,
yeah.
Yeah, it was my idol sending off. This one with the skipper in there. So when he disappeared the game, that's why we lost the game.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio
yeah.
Carmona.
But you carried on anyway, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you moved to Alicante in 2004. Now, that was Sir Gudde Bey at the time.
So, yeah, likely when you're here.
Now, according to the notes, this is where Wiki might fall down. It says that... that Alicante won again the boot be in 2004, but they weren't promoted.
Yeah, I think we have the best team in the division in 10 years, 15 years, and we couldn't get the promotion because we play playoffs. They are a bit strange because it's not like here the two first they go straight up.
Yeah,
the first four. They play against another four because they're like four groups in Spain because they're a bit bigger.
Right.
So it's 20. four times 80 teams, and they just go to the segunda to the championship. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it was quite like more luck than anything. We had the best team so far, and we couldn't get in three years playing the playoffs and no chance. So.
No, it does sound fair. I think if you win your division and you win it by a streak, that you should actually go up. But
yeah.
You know, it just comes and make it. So, but you know how much I've moaned about the concept of playoffs before. I still think that it should. I know it makes it exciting at the end of the season, but I still think it should be 1-2-3 on merit.
Of course.
To be honest, you haven't moaned much about it at all.
Certainly because it's not the end of the season.
Oh, right. You will do.
I will do at the end of the season, yeah. Having said, even if Palace finish third, then by rights, blah, 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 blah. So.
Yeah, sure. No, I agree with you. At the end, they are the best three teams. They go up.
Yeah. And then the playoffs is there just for sort of end of season excitement, really. I mean, what it does is it keeps the teams down to about 9th or 10th interested, because a team in 10th with about 4 games to go has no chance of promotion if it's just the top three. But if, there's only 3 or 4 points in it with 4 games to go, it keeps them.
Yeah, but I want to tell you one thing. From the point of view of the player, you feel so tired.
Yeah.
To play the playoff final, for example, in May, you've been playing 50 games, so you are not going to be in the best moment of your season to play this game. So you play the most important part of the season when you are not in the best form.
Peak fitness.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the only upside of it this year, the championship playoffs, is that it's about 2 weeks between the second semi final and the final. So
yeah.
Because
it's again the Champions League final is in Wembley, so it's going to be.
So. Now, before you came on, because I assume, are you done with Spain, or you got?
You've
been yo-yoing. You said before you came on, and it's an entire show in its own right to actually talk about the transfer from Alaves to Brighton. But if you've got a short version of it, and there's also another Brighton player involved in that, so just let's know.
I reached my contract with Alaves. I think it was in September, early in September, so I couldn't sign until January, theoretically. Mm-hmm. But I came here to England to Andreas Orlandi's house in Swansea, because I played with him before in Alaves a couple of times. So I went there just to watch English football, because I just want to, I don't know, maybe know somebody, or just watch football and go away from Spain, because I was a bit tired of that. So I was watching a game again, Swansea, I think it was, I don't know, Bristol or Doncaster, something like that. Mm-hmm. And one guy sat near to me. He was before in Spain like 6 years ago, and he was now an agent, and he remembered my face because I was trying to help him because he was English. So he started to help me with that, trying to find a trial, but it was so complicated. So I was like 2-3 weeks living with him, go back to Spain, going back again to Swansea, maybe to a trial with Paulo Sousa. Then I couldn't get the trial, and after... Maybe 2-3 months, I went to Gillingham, and I was there. I played. I trained one day. They were really happy with me after I played a reserve game against Dagenham and Redbridge in the best pitch of England for sure. they were really happy. So happy that the manager sent me to Norwich. Because
thought you were too good for Gillingham.
He said that. It was a bit strange because it's not. To be fair, you are a bit selfish. You say, no, I want this player for me. Because they weren't in the best position to, to...
What league were they in at the time?
They had, in League One, both teams. Right. And Norwich, they were 7, 8 position. So, but I think Mario Stinson knew one of the guys in Norwich. And I went there to Norwich. So I was training with them, 2-3 weeks. And then they signed... Russell Martin, because I couldn't sign until January.
Who's incidentally from Brighton.
Yeah, that's another one. So, then... All these 3-4 weeks and months, I was everything paying on my own. Of course, paying the hotels, the flights, everything. So it was like
living in a shed in Gillingham.
I was 15 days in there. You can imagine how bad was that. But I was like quite happy, because then I was nearly, my dream was coming through. So I was happy with that. So I was like, no, Gillingham is not the best. Yeah, but I have, maybe if I go there now, I never come back. To be fair, yet, but if I go back there, maybe I have a still good feeling, because at then, was the beginning of my dream. So, was a long history, and I wasn't coming back again. Sorry, I was nearly to sign there in Gillingham, and then was 24th of December, and then Gus called me because I have a friend in common who is playing now Sheffield Wednesday, and he asked me for a centre back and a right back. So my friend told me, it's a player, a friend of mine is going to sign in Gillingham, so you want him? So from that, I started to know about Brighton.
Yep.
So I came again on 30th of December on the ferry from Portsmouth to Bilbao to Portsmouth. So
you
switched.
You never fly? So you took the train to Dortmund, you took the boat from Bilbao to Portsmouth.
True, that's true, because I... because I wanted to come
Gatwick's
with...
Gatwick's just up the road.
No, I wanted to
that's
come
a,
with...
That's a long old boat ride, that one.
No,
you know,
because I wanted to come with the car, and it wasn't the best moment to drive all France, because you know, I think it was snowing, something like that. So I have to... I arrived to Portsmouth, and I switch on my phone, and then I called my agent and said, where I have to go now, to Gillingham or Brighton? They told me, no, Brighton. So I came here to Brighton, without know anything about Brighton. I just check in Google and the pier appears and the pavilion, that's it. And from that I am Brighton player, so it's more or less a resume. I cannot be talking, I'm talking about that.
No, that's fine. We'll take you one time and really, you know, give us the story and we'll bore everyone out, you know, we'll tell everyone about it. But so Gus didn't really have to sell it to you, it was just a case of, I've got someone who really, really wants to sign me and I'm really interested in this.
Yeah, I came here and I trained one day, but it wasn't even a trial, because he asked one, I don't know who asked, I think it was one player of Alaves that was a Uruguayan, something like that, and he just wanted to meet, I remember he told me, I just want to train, and if you can pass 5 yards, the ball is right. It's not a trial like before. So I was like 3-4 months paying a lot of money to hotels, flights, sure, to get trials. At the end, I didn't have to do a trial to sign here in Brighton. So, but well, for sure, if I didn't do all these things first, I will never be here. So,
so you actually signed for Brighton that just was, early January.
That was January 2010, and you made your debut in icy conditions. So
I remember
we won that one.
We did.
Because it was the worst winter in 30 years. I was in one hotel like 10 days. Because we couldn't play, we couldn't train, because it was snowing. I went, mm-hmm. And they say, but it's been snowing every year I've been here. So don't tell me things like that, because it's been snowing always here in England.
Now think about it, the snow did come along with you.
It's your fault. Yeah, you're not like that. Okay, thank you very much.
No. If you said you were born 30, you were born 30 years ago, the worst winter 30 years ago. Okay, so the snow turned up with your birth.
That's it. Good in maths. Yeah. That's it.
Any snow Calderon?
It's no Calderon.
Sorry, that's dreadful.
I haven't done this for a while. Taxi for Wares.
Okay, so what do you remember about your debut? Apart from being...
Was nearly called off, because it was quite bad, the pitch. Obviously it was bad, but there was snow in Walsall and Birmingham, I remember. And Gus wasn't too happy. They say, well, maybe it's not the best game for you, because you just come from Spain, and they think in Spain it's all the time, you know, like sun and beach. It's not like that, but where I live it's colder than here. But I try to explain that to him. Yeah, it's true.
Are you in the mountains? Is it?
Yeah. Now it's colder than here. Now it's snowing even more than here.
Is it Pyrenees or am I?
It's a bit more in the... It's just more central, maybe.
Yeah, it's just a bit...
It's not
bit
far
west
from the Pyrenees. It's 2 hours from the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
So, and then I play. I remember we won and 2-1.
Two fantastic goals in that game.
Was that Nicky Forster's own?
Nicky Forster and Glenn Murray,
I remember them.
Yeah, the pitch was so bad. But I was so happy that I, you know, and I remember after, straight after, was the against Villa.
Yeah.
So my second game.
Was that your second game?
Yeah, my second game was against Villa. Blimey. And the third game was in Stockport. The worst pitch I ever played, I think.
Playing on the moon.
Oh my God, it was so bad. So I came from in the Villa Park. It was unbelievable, the pitch. And after I went to Stockport, it was my worst game, I think.
Villa Park in front of 6,000 away fans.
Yeah. So you think, Stockport. Walsall, Stockport, I've made it. I know. England.
I think Liam Bridcut was playing in that game for Stockport, wasn't he?
Probably. Yeah.
Was he?
He was there. I know he played, but he was there in Stockport then.
But I know he played down here and got sent off while playing for Stockport.
Yeah. It was that season.
Yeah, he was on loan. I think they won 4. Stockport won 4. This is when we were really dreadful. We lost 4-2, and he got. I think he got sent off when they were about 4-1 up for kicking the ball away. Second yellow. Thankfully, he's learnt. But so how long was it between then your first appearance and your first goal? Because that was Charlton away, wasn't it?
Was 23rd of February.
You don't have to look this up, do you?
No, you know, because it's my mum's birthday.
Oh, right.
I remember the goal celebration.
So it was for her. So it was like I told you, you know, sometimes when you think you're gonna score, and it was a special day for me, because you know, it was my mum's birthday. I was away for her, so that's why I remember. You know, I can't remember.
Hell of a goal! Hell of a goal!
Was it sorry?
A brilliant goal.
Yeah, it was, but you know what? I'm going to tell you one.
Go on.
I have too many histories to be fair. It was a small deflection that not too many people realize that, but the deflection was made for my friend Jera, that is now playing Sheffield Wednesday.
All right.
So that's the one he could help me to come here. And he was a small deflection, so he's been helping me a lot all the time, like you can see.
Well, you like scoring at Charlton anyway.
In fact, actually,
I had a bet at Charlton this year that
you were going to score again.
The same, you know. That's we talk about the psychology, but it's something like that, you know. When you
you're 14-1 to score any time.
40-1
14. That's pretty.
It's not brilliant, but it's
especially for a fullback. It's pretty mean.
No, but it's true. You know, the ballet is a special thing for me because when I came first at all, I was watching my friend Gerard there playing against. I think it was Southampton, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. I came when I was in Alicante. I came with my girlfriend in the New Year's Eve to London just to do something different to London, and I went the 1st of January to watch Charlton Arsenal at the ballet. They won 5-2 something like that.
Yeah.
So I would all the time we've been linked with me, you know, the ballet. So I know we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, if Gus no longer wants you, then you know, you know where you're going.
Yeah, it's true. You know,
well, his lad's there anyway. So
Okay. I mean, this is a question that we've always wanted to ask someone, so we're going to ask you. When you came to the club, I mean, were you given an indication about the history of the club and the troubles we went through to get to the stadium where we are now, and what we call the dark days with the previous ownership, etc.?
Not at the beginning. Maybe until I was here, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. I started to learn the history. It was so weird. To be fair, it's not normal that happened more here in England.
Yeah.
So maybe I know because my English wasn't too good to understand that people were saying to me. But
I was actually just asking, could you speak English before you came here?
Not too bad. The thing is, I didn't care too much if I was doing that embarrassing because then I was in my own here. It's not like that like now when the Spanish come here, it's easier because we are 5-6 players that we can speak. So I have to learn, we say in Spanish, because you have to learn it. If not, you are dead. You don't have you don't have excuses, you don't have another option if you don't want to learn. So that's why I think I learned quite quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I know was good, and like you say, the history in the club is. And now the funny thing, I don't think the players that they are now here, the Spanish one, they know the history because it's you cannot understand now. You're not playing at the Amex now,
sure.
Because sometimes we train at the within, and they can understand why we were playing there too many years. I was just playing there 1 year and a half. It was more than enough. More than enough.
Yeah. Have you ever been past the Goldstone site?
He lives near it.
Yeah, he lives quite near, and it's I know not now what it was, but the same. I was 2 years here driving, you know, on the road in there, and I never realized what was there in the
you can't imagine a football stadium there.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
There's a lot of Brighton supporters who won't even drive past.
I know. And they told me that history that when they're walking this side, they look out to another side because
it makes them cross, it makes them angry, it makes them, you know. But having said that, you know, with the prize that we've got now, you know, slightly different.
Okay. Speaking of which, so what were your first impressions of with Dean?
Rubbish, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't the best, and I wanted to come here to England to play in a good stadium because technically they are better than Spain. It wasn't the best, but well, I don't know, they gave me the option to come here, so I just say okay, I want to play here. And I knew they were building the new stadium, and I was so good that maybe deserve to wait until that.
Sure. We'll talk about your second string of career that you run in parallel to your football career, but I do have to ask this because I'm asking this from a personal point of view. For me,
what's your favourite tapas restaurant in Brighton?
No, I'll ask him that in a minute. There's several. I've been watching the Albion since 1978. I mean, I can vaguely remember bits and pieces other promotions, but for me, you know, the whole culmination of the fight and the 14 years, all the, you know, it perfectly culminated in you know, the last year with Dean, the championship year, and you know, all the move to the Amex and everything like that. But from my point of view, 33 years a supporter at the time, I know what it meant to me. But you know, for you, your second, well, your first full season in England, what did it mean to you as a player to win, you know, the third division in a way that we did?
The thing was nobody relied. Well, I know nobody, but it was the perfect way to go to the new stadium because. Mm-hmm. At the end, we get the promotion just in the moment we have to get it, you know, to go in the championship at the Amex to make the opening in the Amex against Doncaster. But I don't think the people realize how complicated was that because at the end, when I came here, we were in the bottom, but bottom really, really
it was
struggling.
A real relegation top
fight. You know, so in 1 year, we were the best team in the division and we didn't change too much the player. So I think it was so good. the thing we achieved that mm-hmm. year, you know. So it was like a perfect history to start in at the Amex, but could be like we are still still in League One at the Amex, you mm-hmm. know. It shouldn't too much mm-hmm. crazy, because at the end, you know, football is football, and we weren't the best team in terms of economic or players, something like that. But we just had to play
team,
playing and that. So it was the perfect history to.
So you didn't really see that season coming after the year before.
The thing is, when I came here, I didn't understand why we were at the bottom, because I think we were playing right, but that's the typical thing, you know. We were playing good, but we couldn't get the results. Yeah. Mm. But then I think the last 5-6 games of this year, we started to play much better.
Yeah.
And say, why not? The next year, and when I was in precision that year, I was like quite confident, saying, I don't know, I have the feeling that we are doing really, really good this year, and that happened. Was the best year for me in my career. Mm. So
eight goals in. Have you scored 8 goals in a season before?
No.
Yeah.
No. I scored 7, but I was playing a bit higher in the right winger.
In fact, I've got a point about that here. I mean, you said that keeping a clean sheet was as good as scoring a goal. Now, that's a load of rubbish, isn't it?
I have to say that on the radio. I have to say on the radio, I love to score goals. I am like a kid. I mean, if I score, I don't know, just training, I am so happy, you know.
Sure.
So happy. But then, of course, like a professional point of view, my work is just keep the clean sheet. But if I can score, oh my God.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, getting back to that season, was it 2010, 2011, you got 8 goals, but you also involved, well, 2 of them were actually in 2 of my favourite games, one of which I was at, 2 of which you were at.
Right.
That one was Peterborough away.
Yeah.
And one was back to Charlton away. Now, Charlton away for me was just such a good day. I mean, it was the same day that Millwall beat Palace, and we were talking to Millwall fans at the London Bridge Station, you know, chatting with them. Talking about the stadium and everything like that.
Yeah, God, I was interviewing from this show, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and Peterborough away, which, you know, to my eternal shame, I didn't go to, but that was, by the sounds of things, the match of the season.
Yeah, I think both games, they were the best games we played this year. Against Charlton, I think it was 4-0, but playing so good. And I think and against Peterborough was 3-0. So, but
it should have been 8.
Yeah, it was. It's like that. You know, we played so good that we say that it's going to be the year. It's going to be.
You smash one in from about 25 centimeters against Peterborough. The long way out, wasn't it? It was you.
It was. You bundled it over the line.
You scored at Peterborough.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was quite cheap, to be fair.
It was about 25 centimetres out.
I don't know.
At Peterborough?
In the corner. It was a corner, and I tried to kick the ball like 3 times.
That's the one.
I don't know how you can remember this goal.
Oh, we watch them all the time.
I want to forget this goal, but no, I can't.
So that's the worst goal you've ever scored?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Okay. So what's the best then?
The best was against Bristol City.
So you made that.
That's my goal of the season last season.
Oh, goal of 2012.
Goal of 2012.
Well, yeah. I completely disagreed with you. Sorry, but I said CMS at Burnley.
Okay, that's good.
The overhead kick.
It was good.
That's not the reason we got him on here, just to say that, you know, that was my goal of the season, goal of the year.
Well, no, I'm just trying to like coax an overhead kick out of him.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Are you any good at that?
When you are more than 30, you cannot do it. Just in case. Prevention. Prevention.
Okay, so what was best?
Kevin Phillips still does that, by the way. And if he does that on Sunday, yeah,
he's nearly 40.
I will tell him, don't do him no more.
Yeah. Okay, so what was better? Confirming promotion against Dagenham or winning the title at Walsall?
No, yes, the promotion. The promotion against Dagenham was after. Yeah, you can get the championship. It was a matter of time.
Well, you scored in that game as well.
Yeah, the first
and
one.
You said, and you did the baby celebration.
No, that was against
Dagenham.
No, but I didn't do the because my girlfriend wasn't even pregnant then.
What?
Really?
Oh, that's a secret. Then. No. I just scored against Dagenham the first goal, and I remember it was a really, really weird game. I think it was 4-3.
It was 4-3, yeah.
So a crazy game, because we were so excited to, you know, trying to get the promotion after the Walsall. Yeah, it was just a matter of time.
You forgot to defend it against Dagenham, didn't you?
It was crazy game.
Yeah,
I remember the goal they scored was like the typical one that we're gonna lose, because they were like chippy goals, you know. Like,
yeah. So, they scored after 20 seconds.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. You know. So everything was going, you know, in the bad way. Because everything was like ready to the party, you know, like get the promotion and that.
You guys did party that night, didn't you?
Yeah, we went then. It was all right. Yeah. Everything for me was my first promotion, because I told you we have a really, really bad experience trying to get the the promotion in Spain, so it was like a, you know, you feel so relieved in there, so yeah. It was good, really, really good.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that night apparently even Glenn Murray smiled, but that's another story.
No.
But, okay, well, we'll come back to being at Brighton in a little bit, but you are listening to the Albion Rule here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on our podcast, and if you're listening, if you can't find us wherever you are in the world, you're not trying hard enough. This show is, of course, brought to you in this oldfootballshirts.com. We've already done the shirt of the week, but Corner, you've been nominated for this Football League award. Tell us all about it.
Well, was I don't know, was a bit weird because I didn't know what there were these yeah. awards. That's the first of everything, but I think the first of all was I was nominated from the club. Mm-hmm. Yes,
they put forward the nomination.
Yeah. No, it was inside the club. They did something like a goal of the year, of the year, player of the year, and player in the community of the club in the year. So I won it. After they told me, I think you have a chance to go to the national ones. Well, it's something that you cannot choose or you cannot decide anything about that. And after I was nominated, I said, well, I think it's, you know, and more, I think, because, not just personally, because I think the clubs deserve, because they are doing a massive, massive work in the community. So I'm really happy because at the end, if I am there, because the club is there, so I am more happy for the club, more than for myself.
So what is it you do then that actually has put your nomination forward then? What is it you do with Albion and the community?
Well,
the short version, if you can.
Yeah, it's true. The thing is, I cannot say no, okay? So every time they ask me if I want, I don't know, go to a school or go to give some lessons to somebody, some people that they are learning about fitness. Because the thing is, I did in Spain a degree in fitness education, sports science, mm-hmm. something like that, like 5 years in the uni. Mm-hmm. And after I did 2 years in the sports psychology and a master in that. So it was like
So you're a doctor?
No, doctor, because I didn't do the all that thing. You have to be years and years doing that. Okay. But I have a master and a degree in the in sports science. So maybe because of that, they think or they thought that I have a better chance to I don't know, to teach somebody or to talk to anyone, because then it's better, and you are listening to somebody. If it's a footballer, it's like you open more your ears and you start to listening more because you're a footballer. So well, I don't know if it's fair, because I think the teachers, maybe they are better ready than me for teach, maybe, but then they listen to you much better. So they thought that I have the chance to I don't know, to give these kind of things.
Who'd you give the lectures to then?
Too many different ways. I mean, I prefer more with adults more than kids, because then the kids, they just want to, I don't know, what is your better goal? You have a girlfriend or not? You have a car or not? But then I remember doing one with the job seekers. So they were like 12 months, without a job. So they were mm-hmm. trying to improve his motivation and confidence.
This is part of the Want to Work program, yes?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, because my brother Gary was on last week, and he works with that. So yeah, he was saying about how...
Yeah, and I went and I just told him my history, you know, how I came here, because I thought it was a perfect, you know, point of view about motivation and confidence. 1 week ago I went to they were doing like to be a fitness personal fitness trainer or coach, I don't know what was that, so they asked me also to go there and try to talk about that, about the sports science, like a footballer, and also I did the degree in there. So I think it's, and also for me it's good, because this way I am like refreshing all the time, because of course when you have to do a lecture, you have to get ready something and you have to start studying again. So it's good for me. I like it, because it's getting more experience for me and myself. So it's really good.
So when you came to England, did you actually envisage, did you, you know, consider that you'd be asked to do that? As well as playing football?
Yeah, I think it wasn't my team at Alavés. Yeah, every time I could do something, but it was just maybe with the school, something like that.
Mm. Outside football,
yeah. Yeah. But then you have too much time, the football, you have too much time. And I am not the typical one just to play. I don't have PlayStation, for example, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't like to play PlayStation. Mm. I don't know, doing these kind of things. Mm. I am a bit weird, but I like it, because I think you help, you know, and you feel so good. Sometimes you feel lazy because you want to, I don't know, rest and be at home. After you go there and you feel so good, because you realize that you are helping a lot of people, and that's the best thing you can do.
Yes, I mean, we're used to having players going around the schools and stuff of the current crop,
past players as well.
And, well, past players are going on and doing a lot more than you would envisage, but for a current player to go and do sports psychology, that's unheard of.
Well, the point he's making is that he's, I mean, you said, you know, he's got far too much time on his hands. He doesn't have a PlayStation, so he might as well go and do something with. So perhaps he might be able to sort of, you know, encourage other players to do that as well, and, you know, maybe footballers' standings within the community might raise a bit. Although at Brighton, it's massive in the first place, because I suspect that every single player has to do some sort of community involvement anyway. So what do they do in the schools? I mean, I know you said what you do in the schools, but what do other players do? I mean, do they feel a bit embarrassed or
no? That's depending on the schools. They have a plan for us, and we go there, and sometimes it's no answer questions of the kids, or sometimes
what's your favorite car? What's your favorite?
Yeah, car? That's what's the one. For example, that's not like too much to me, because then for me it's true, because they can ask you the same question three times because they just want to ask, but they don't listen to you. So sometimes or sometimes you just prefer to be more like one of them, and maybe I don't know if they are drawing something, stay with them.
Sure.
I think I like more that, because, you know, they are happy with you, and you feel like them. And it's not this kind so cold, you know, like just answer and like an interview. So it's good.
Sure. So the thing is, the point I was making in the question I was asking earlier is that when you came to England and you said you wanted to play for, you know, Gillingham were interested, you're trying for Swansea and blah blah blah, is that excuse me, you weren't told about Brighton. You knew about the Pavilion and the Pier. You didn't know anything about the football club. So therefore, there's this community program, which, again, you know, you've had to learn about, you know, after you've joined. You know, that must be something. I mean, I remember having a conversation with you before saying they have nothing like this in Spain. And I think you were saying just earlier that they don't have a lot of this stuff. They don't have even other football clubs in England. So, you know, I guess as a Brighton player, I must think this is brilliant.
Yeah, like I say, for me, it's like it's the perfect club for me, because, like I say, I like to do these things. But, for example, in Spain, I couldn't do it. And like you say, maybe in another English clubs, I cannot do it because they don't do that. Or, like here is amazing.
Do you find it's a peculiarly English thing then to do this community thing? Is it, you say it just doesn't happen in Spain?
No, it doesn't happen in Spain at all. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Barcelona, because I don't know.
I know Barcelona, Real do it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, because they are so big and maybe they can do it, but then we were here in League One and we were doing the same. And now in Championship, I mean, the offices about the community, they are so big. It's too many people working for that it's so good. It's amazing. It's really, really good. Trust me.
Okay, well, you're up against Alan Lee, so you've got to beat him because he used to play for Palace.
Okay.
and Mark Roberts. That's Alan Lee for his work in Huddersfield and Mark Roberts for his work at Stevenage. I've no idea what they do. Any ideas?
No, no idea.
Okay, previous winners of the award are Graham Murty at Reading, Zesh Raymond, so an Albion link there.
Or just hang on. If you follow in the footsteps of Graham Murty, you too could work on late kickoff.
Yeah, he'd make more sense.
I think he would, actually, yeah.
Okay, so Zesh Raymond for his work at Bradford. He won it in 2010. Darren Moore for his work at Burton. And Tamika Makanda-Weary for his work at Millwall, won it last year. I think I've pronounced his name right. I have no idea.
Well, I think, you know, this year's, you know, I mean, I've spoken, you know, in talking, my brother last week on here, who works in the Want to Work programme, and talking to other people about, you know, what it is that you're doing. And it is fairly unusual for a current player to have that parallel career. You know, without wishing to embarrass you, I think it's absolutely fantastic that you're doing this anyway, but B, in the name of the football club that, you know, me and Adi and, you know, the dozens of people that are listening to us, you know, so, you know, well done, brilliant. Mm. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much. No, it's true, mate. It's quite easy, you know. It's quite easy.
Really? Like,
yeah. It's quite.
But it would be. You've done the degree.
The thing is, The thing is, I'm gonna tell you one thing. The thing in Spain, you can do it. I don't think here. That's a bit, you know, like no sense like what I'm saying now. But in Spain, you can, because we train. When I was in the young team, I trained in the afternoon. Here they train in the morning. I don't know why. So they have to, when they are 16, 17.
It's too hot in the afternoon here.
No, it's true. But they have to decide: go to the uni or play football. Yeah. Then the football career is so risk. I mean, of 20, 25 players in the team, maybe one they can achieve to go to the first team. So then in Spain, you have the chance to go to a school if you want. After the too many players, they don't want to study because they know I want to be a football player. But it's so complicated to arrive to the first team. I was lucky enough that my parents say, no, you have to study. After you come, you play football. Then is the key because you have to have something. Because, like I say, maybe the bad injury.
The ball didn't work out.
Bad injury, bad luck, whatever you want to say. But it's just luck about in football.
Sure. Okay. Well, a big supporter of our union community is, of course, American Express. And they've announced this week they're increasing their sponsorship of the album with the shirt sponsorship, with a shirt which was released this year.
What do you think of it?
My first impression was Colchester.
I said Porto.
You said Porto. It's growing on me now a bit, actually.
I can think of worse. I mean, you know, MGF Charlie and Andy, we had a discussion about this. Their main gripe is that the centre stripe is white and it should be blue. I mean, these are obviously evidently first world problems that we all have to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's that. On the back, the blue stripe is down the middle. But it's interesting. I mean, it's a blue and white striped shirt.
Yeah,
blue shorts.
That's the thing. And then what you can do, like, new for the next year, if not, you have to change something. You know, it's all the time the same. You know, you have to do something. You have white and blue stripes.
Yeah,
it's nothing too much. You can, like, you know, something. Oh, it's really new. It's so fashion. So, what you can do? It's nothing.
It's not great doing. Do
unless we get to the playoff final, then we're going to wear a Boca Juniors shirt.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see. And lose 5-4.
Yeah.
But no, actually, talking of things helping the community, and I don't know if you've got this on your notes, but
I do. Dan Lawson.
Okay, fine. Go on then. What have you got?
Okay, I've got Running Man. Dan Lawson is following up running. He did 8 back-to-back marathons last year, which is
just head mental.
Yeah. And this year he's attempting to break the record for the greatest distance run on a treadmill, and this, of course, to raise money for Albion the community. The current record stands at 520 miles, and to surpass it...
That's in a week, isn't it?
That's in a week, yeah. And to pass it, he's got to run the equivalent of 20 marathons. That's nearly 3 marathons a day.
In the treadmill.
On a treadmill.
On a treadmill. It'll knock her out, the treadmill.
In a tent.
Outside the library.
There'll be little time for sleep and recovery as Dan is expected to run non-stop for around 14 hours a day.
Are you involved in this at all?
I spoke with him. I said I would like to run half an hour.
Sure.
No matter what, because to be fair, I feel so boring running on the treadmill. Yeah. It's so boring.
Yeah.
So these guys...
You don't even put a screen up in front of you and just make out that you're running along the road? Or...
Yeah, the first hour is all right. After this,
although I can speak from personal experience that...
You've run on treadmill for an hour?
No, but running outside the personal... Yeah, there's a lot of... yummy mummies go to the library.
Oh, hell. Good grief.
It's another point.
This one has a young baby and everything. Okay, you know.
That's how I know.
Listen, if I'm disgusted with it, Inigo's disgusted with it. You behave it. So for your sake, Erica is not listening.
Okay, anyway, you can support Dan by visiting his Virgin Money page, full details of which are on the Albion website.
They're also... Sorry, I think I need to point out that it's on Virgin Money, or UK Virgin Money giving.com and type in the Albion in the community and you'll find Dan Lawson's page there. Yeah. So it's not just on the Albion website. I stuck in 15 quid because frankly that's all I can afford, but we're way over 1500 quid now. Let's just, you know, pile in as much as you can. So if you feel like you know, being impressed or, you know, absolutely baffled by what Dan's doing, then, you know, please do support this generously.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I just can't even fathom it.
500 miles and, you know, and you've got nowhere.
Yeah.
Hello. I mean, the Proclaimers, actually, they sing 500 miles. But
yeah, but they walked. They walked.
Yeah, but they got to the top of the charts and everything.
Okay, let's just move on to you being at the Albion again. Okay, moving to the Amex, it was obviously a bit... I spoke to you after the Spurs game, and you had a massive, great big smile on your face.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like you say, more if you were playing at the Guidin, and for you, the fans, I think it was the best day in 20 years. Because I was just 1 year and a half in Guidin, I was so good and like quite deserved to play in there. So for the fans, was like, you know, the dream come true. Because at then, you know, Guidin, you were... Sometimes I thought, why or how the people could come to watch us?
Yeah, because we're quite often wet.
No, even a roof, you know. They were with shoes in there, like, really happy. They were every game, 8,000
There were games where we actually could... I mean, we've said this before. You could go home and jump in a swimming pool and you wouldn't get any wetter.
No, it was... no roof in England is like, I don't know.
Mad.
Yeah, yes, mad.
So Barcelona, the same.
Slightly
different.
Yeah, Siena.
So
Siena's the same. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But you know. Yeah. But at least you know. But yeah. So what are your memories of that first day? Well, the first game. I mean, we know how much the Doncaster game means to us. Yeah, but as a professional footballer,
I have the first yellow card in the at the Amex. It was a friendly game, but it was.
Oh right.
Gareth Bale, you know the guy. It's a
left winger. He's playing
some Welsh bloke.
So he just tried to jam and cheat, you know, and I didn't touch him. I have a massive picture in the Russian room in the tunnel. We have.
Really, he's never done that before.
From now I understand he's doing the same he did against me, so he's trying to cheat. Well, he's a good player, I think. He can. You know,
I just hope his lawyers aren't listening.
Allegedly.
Yeah, quite. No, because I was about to say, I think that the first the Doncaster game, the first booking was Kazenga.
Oh, God, really?
For being knocked over. Do you remember there was he got two footed from behind on the halfway line.
It was for diving. It was actually a penalty, but it was.
No, it wasn't a penalty. It was just a clumsy thing. But you know, the referee decided it was a dive. Yeah, it was just, and that's when Gus got sent to the stand.
True.
Oh yeah, he kept the water bottle, didn't he? Yeah.
I think he had a few choice words, which you know. Actually, that's a point. Well, you guys, I mean, when you miss an easy chance or you a bad pass or something like that, I'm sure there's just some shout out that comes out and some expletive, but do you have a, without actually mentioning it necessarily, unless it is in Spanish, do you just go, you know?
Yeah.
Do you first swear in English? Do you swear in Spanish or?
Sometimes in English, to be fair, because no? I think the first thing you learn when you come in a different country is the bad words.
Yes.
And sometimes I swear in English, and sometimes in not Spanish, but with an Argentinian accent. Not because of Gus, because when I was playing in Alaves, there were a few Argentinian players. I don't know why I started to do the words of them.
All right.
So it's a mix between Argentinian and English. It doesn't look too great.
Fine. And do you do the same when you score a goal, or you just go?
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's the funny because here you say yeah when you score, and in Spain we say goal. So the fans, it's crazy. Here it's yeah. And Spain is goal. Oh. So it's why you say yeah, you know, it's a goal. It's not, but it's good. It's good. Yeah. Difference in this.
We say all sorts of
no.
Wonderful.
I've not.
Well, wonderful choice.
Such a wonderful. Yeah, it's stretching it, but it is along the lines of ah.
That's how it sounds.
Yeah. But this is what I'm saying. It's ah and oh. There's a nice baritone sort of sound to the Spanish cheering.
We are running out of time, so I'm going to answer this question for you. Was it strange going from 7,000 to 22,000 every week? Yes, it was. Okay,
it was for us.
Yeah, so being made vice captain, that must have been pretty good for you.
Yeah, I think. And more here in England, another different, you know, give an extra point, a massive importance, you know, to be the skipper. So, yeah, I take it because it was my second year here. I was a bit, you know, because in Spain, usually you are the oldest one or the one who's been more years in the club is the captain. But here it's different, you know. So, yeah, of course, it's quite extra proud of it like that. But
so what are you like as a captain on the pitch? Are you a screamer or would you just let people get on with it?
Well, typically you have to talk. You have the chance to talk more with the ref. But to be fair, it's not too much sense in that because at the end it's not going to change, never, his opinion. So it's just you have to maybe to protect the rest of the players to dock and set off because you know you try to swear to the ref. Maybe more trying to like I say more try to get something from the ref is trying to avoid something.
You had to translate the ref to Leo the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, it's funny because that's so funny because he tried because another Spanish player is quite far from him. He has to try to speak with him and he speak in Spanish with him like really slow.
The ref was doing all the hand motions.
It's funny, but you cannot imagine how frustrated you feel, you know, because you want to talk with him because really hungry. Angry or something like that, and you cannot talk with him, but he's living really, really quick, so I'm happy for him.
Okay.
We've got to ask about the arrival of Vicente and your job as well, basically the Spanish liaison.
It was his nanny.
Yeah, last year I think it was important for him because he couldn't speak one word in English. Really? So
allegedly he still can't, but
yeah, no, it's a bit, you know, a bit lazy because the problem is
he is lazy.
Yeah,
that's what Gary Digger said.
He's lazy in terms of trying to learn because if he's another, if I am with him or he's another, I know Andrea or something like that near him, he always say telling that.
Oh.
So he's lazy. That's the problem. You know, that's why you cannot learn. But He's such a good guy. He's so funny. Kind of my funniest.
Oh, no, I saw him having a go at the ref the other day. So that was.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he knows his English then, doesn't he?
Okay. And. Well,
at least he knows his English swear words anyway.
Yeah, he knows that.
Okay, I mean, of course, we've got to talk about this Sunday. I mean, how aware are you guys as players of the rivalry and how much it means to the supporters?
Now more than last year. I think last year when we lost here, I think it was 3-1.
Yeah, we took the lead.
We didn't know too much how important it was for the fans. You know, I think at the end you have to feel it, you know, you have to feel it in your own body. And I think what, to be fair, was a weird game. We didn't, the first half, we were much, much better than them. And after, I don't know what happened, but like it was the derby, everything is
the you passes know, weren't working. And
yeah, but everything, if it's something is going bad, it's going to be so, so bad because just because of the derby, you know. So, yeah. And I remember the atmosphere after in the game, you know, after we were losing, it was so, so, you know, like everything. I don't know, too disappointed. Too
poisonous.
Yeah, you know. So from that, we learned. But the problem, we played this year and, you know, in five minutes, the game was off.
Stunk, yeah.
You know, so I'm really, really looking forward for the game because I think we deserve, the fans deserve, and everybody in the club deserves to win Palace.
And it's going to be another record attendance at the Amex as well.
No pressure.
No, it's not pressure. It's the game you want to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for so far, I don't want to play. With all my respect to Barnsley, for example, I want to play against Palace at home with 28,000 fans in there. You know, it's a massive game, and like when you're a player, that's the games you want to play, and it's perfect, no excuses at all.
Now, obviously, with the injuries to Craig and to Will, and what's happened with Ashley can you play up front?
Yeah, good. I would like to. I never consider myself like a fullback, a right back. I always, but then I've been playing there.
What's your favorite position if you're playing? Where would you really like
maybe
to play?
Central midfielder. I would like I said you before. I would like to be a striker just because I'm close to score goals, and I am like a kid. I mean, I want to score goals and score goals.
So why won't Gus let you play up front?
He was thinking that because we train and we play like a funny game, something like that. I always want to be a front because I like to be a front, you know. And no, the thing is, like, I've been too many years on the defense. Now I know what the defenders hate from a striker.
Okay.
So you start to think and give it just an experience.
Exactly like Adam Virgo.
Yeah.
You
know, Adam Virgo played as a centre half for us, you know, and then Mark McGee stuck him up front. And I think helped by the likes of Steve Claridge, who was about 90 even then at the time, saying, yeah, he's learnt a few tricks and knows, you know.
The only place Adam Virgo didn't play was in goal, and he would have played there if he had the chance.
I'm sure he would. Do you want to play in goal?
That's my another dream, a small dream. 93rd minute, last minute, sending off 1-0 winning, and it's a penalty. And I have a really, really good side. If I dive there, I'm going to say yes in case. If I dive this side, I'm going to save the goal for sure.
Okay. So I love the fact he has all these boys' own fantasies. That's
It's more fantasy, you know.
Not
bigger one. But
how many times have you won the World Cup in your head?
That's too much for me.
Okay.
The Bass don't enter the World Cup.
We are not allowed to play now. Okay.
Okay, and it's not. I mean, leading up to this game, it hasn't been the greatest of week. Obviously, three games on the road, so it's lots of travelling. So I mean, I was up at Bolton on Saturday, and it was a terrific performance. But we just lacked the cutting edge up there.
Yeah, because Inigo wasn't playing up front.
This is true.
That's true. But I think everybody expects more, you know, from the three games. 1 point of nine is not good enough at all. But then you have now the Palace game, and we'll forget if we win the game.
Well, as I said at the top of the show, I mean, all is not lost, and we've got to play everyone pretty much. We've got Palace, Leicester, Forest, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, but then I don't know when I read the position where the teams they are now, and it was a bit scary because there is one fourth, the other one sixth, maybe the other one maybe. But after you say, well, we couldn't win to Barnsley and Bristol that they were at the bottom then. So in this division, it doesn't matter
everyone beats everyone else.
It's amazing.
Even teamed at the bottom.
I think it's the most complicated division to bet, for example.
Yes.
I never will bet in this division because it's so complicated because the first one can lose easier with the last one. It's crazy.
Which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. That happened in Cardiff against Peterborough. They were bottom and they won in Cardiff.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy.
So, but at least this time around, we'd like to think that the lower team is actually going to beat the team that's higher on Sunday.
Okay, well, we are running out of time, so just quickly, what is your favourite Spanish restaurant in Brighton?
Latino. That's a bit merchandising from them, but well, Latino is Charles Roth.
Because that album.
Well, I always go to Cast on Carlos, but
it's all right. It's good as well.
I also like going to La Bodyguard in Church Street as well. So
which one?
There's an one just around the corner here. We're actually all you folks in Radio Land. We're in the Old Steen here, just around the corner at pretty much next door to the Wagon and Horses. Yeah. There's a tiny little one run by a Real Madrid fan. Well, actually, so is Francis. He's a Real Madrid fan. But
what was the one we went to that had the bottles of David Marino?
That was La Solera, which is the sister tapas house to La Bodega. That's in Sydney Street. So there's a couple of other ones. We know all these ones.
I know. I realize that.
Well, that's all we've got time. So of course, thanks to Alan Wears, and of course, thank you to Inigo Calderon.
Thanks, mate.
I've been Eddie Pack, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks a lot. Bye.